Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line, Sandy Williams. You too can join us. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, you know, we were talking about subject that I had a conversation with some younger people who are very disillusioned with our political system on both sides, and are concerned about the money that you know is going to people who are looking to get elected. And one of the things, Sandy, that also came up were these political PACs, and the fact that you don't have to know who gave the money. You know, this is it is set in motion to get around, you know, allowing fair elections, as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to donate money to PACs, Democratic or Republicans, why should that be done in the dark? You know, I mean, that certainly doesn't benefit, you know, the average voter. Why do we allow that to happen in the dark?
Well, you know, I think it's because money had enough power to change the laws to allow it to happen in the dark. You know, there was the day back in the 70s when I was actively working in politics with the governor. There was a great deal of, there was no dark money. There was no corporate money. There were lots of restrictions on who could give money, and then the public disclosure of who gave money, for the very reason we're talking about, because the political processes in the 20th century were smart enough to know that money was potentially a nefarious power in politics, and that it was important that the public would understand who was giving money to a politician, so they could better judge the politician and whose interest they would operate on behalf of. And it was only a slow erosion of that happened starting in about 1980, in which the political process decided to allow dark money, and then finally culminating in Citizens United, the Supreme Court case, which basically was Katie bar the door. You know, it was now there's no limit. Corporations can give money, and the ability to give it darkly was allowed.
So there's no question that it's tarnished our political process. And in many instances, you know, it's gotten many people to move away from it. They wonder why, you know, such a large swath of the American people don't vote. They don't trust the system. They don't trust it at all. And when you hear the things you are saying, Sandy, you've got a legitimate reason not to trust it.
Well, yeah. You know, I think that apathy would be the normal reaction in a circumstance in which people vote, and then they find out with dismay that the people they vote for don't represent their interest, and things don't change. At least the things that are important to the people don't change.
Right.
You know, we do it. There are definitely differences that are expressed by the parties, and maybe some major policy initiatives. You know, Biden wasn't responsible for a big tax cut. He's been responsible for some programs that will improve social conditions, and he's fighting for child daycare. But it isn't the whole range of issues that are important to the people. And so the people end up finding out that a big tax cut happened and nothing else happened on their behalf in a four-year period, 2016 to 2020. And now they're waiting for this period, 2020 to 2024, to find out what potential benefits they will derive from this change in power. And so far, there's the infrastructure bill, which is sort of a standard government delivery of jobs. There hasn't been much else delivered yet that changes the plight of people who are suffering in particular ways.
Well, you know, Sandy, you always hear that all politics are local. And on a national level, yeah, I get all of that. But now people that I'm talking to and about is on this local level where, you know, who's going to be the next mayor and the impact that that's going to have on people's lives here, you know, locally, who are at the lowest rung of this thing. And in 20 some odd days, they're going to have to vote for either one of two people. And the conversation again is, which one can we trust? And when you look at both of them, they're both taking advantage of the system that is, you know, that is legal now, right? I mean, you know, this is the cards that we've been dealt with, and they're utilizing that system. The people just have to be smart enough to know that that's the case. Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that is what I'm saying. As long as this is the game, then the people that are kind of roll up their sleeves and do their work and make sure that they vote for someone, and after they vote, hold their feet to the fire. I mean, the candidates for mayor, there certainly is a significant enough difference between the two of them. And whether the candidate that you like ends up getting a big donation from an individual donor is not as important as how you hold the feet to the fire of that mayoral candidate once they become mayor. You have to judge, I mean, yeah, and particularly in local elections, it's probably a little bit easier to judge the character of the people that you're electing and to test the history of what they've done in the past and try and make an extension into the future of what you might expect them to do. I'd be surprised if people were confused about who to vote for mayor. There seems to be a very significant difference between the two candidates. And whether the candidate that you like is getting a big donation from someone should worry you less than to think about the ways in which you'll make sure that that candidate does the public bidding.
You know, Sandy, that's well said. The people themselves who took the time out to vote, and I always say to people, it doesn't end with you taking the time out to vote. If you don't follow up, you know, to make sure that your vote, you know, you hear people say, well, my vote, somebody stole my vote didn't count. You know, that's, you can argue that point, but I don't think that point is as relevant as the point you just made. Holding the person accountable who you did vote for. And I think we don't do enough of that in this society. We go ahead and move on with our lives, and then that part of it just goes unnoticed. And I think that's how it helps, you know, to not make this a viable reality when you hear people say, I don't want to vote anymore because of that. But at the root of it is the fact that when we vote, we don't follow up.
Yeah, well, yeah, and particularly in the local, in a local setting, it's a lot easier to understand what is happening and, right, and to try and get a feel for who someone is being responsive to, which is, I guess, the reason why we talk about how all elections, all politics local. Is local. Yeah.
We've got to go to a break. Sandy Williams is here. It's Monday. We'll be back on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number. You two can join us. We'll be right back.
Sing with me, y'all. That's all we got. One more. Something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with the good world. Yeah.